Tonight, God's word comes to us from the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. And we're going to be reading all the verses of this chapter. Nehemiah, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's word. Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads, and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemies said, "They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work." At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day." So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we turn to the book of Nehemiah and a text about the importance of prayer. Nehemiah has some of the most beautiful prayers in the Scriptures. If you are interested in knowing more about prayer, enriching your prayer life, I encourage a study of the book of Nehemiah. Tonight we look at just one instance in his life, in chapter 4, this discussion of the building of the wall. And I've entitled tonight's sermon, Nehemiah's Strategy for Success. How was he going to get this project done? And we will see that prayer is woven through the entire process. That was Nehemiah's strategy to complete the task that was given to him. As we face a new year, we have different things on our hearts, our minds to be accomplished. What tools should we use? And certainly, that must begin with prayer as well. Perhaps you need a reminder of where we are in the history of God's people. We don't often turn to the book of Nehemiah. To somewhat set the context for this, I would encourage you, if you have your Bible open yet, to turn back a few pages to 2 Chronicles, the end of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36, at verse 15, we read this. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, till the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. The recounting of God's judgment against Judah, against his people. How the temple would be destroyed, how the wall would be broken down, and God would send them into captivity. This happens in about 556 BC. Chronicles goes on then, in the very next verse it says this, "Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia." The first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, is not until about 539 BC. This is 50 years later. 50 years go on between verse 21 and verse 22. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up." So 50 years later, Cyrus comes to power and now says, "I will allow you from Judah to go back once again." And the book of Ezra, the next book in the Bible after 2 Chronicles, the book of Ezra actually begins exactly where Chronicles ends. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord came to him, and the same words are written there. He will describe in Ezra the rebuilding of the temple. The rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. That took them about 20 years or so. About to the year 516, 70 years after the captivity. Then in Nehemiah, we come to chapter 2, where we read there, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. This 20th year of Artaxerxes is now about another 70 years later. 70 years after the captivity, then 70 more years, 140 years. And here we read, now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will we be gone, and when we return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. So now, they are being sent back not to build the temple, but Nehemiah records being sent back to build the wall. And that is where we pick up our text in Nehemiah chapter 4. And the challenges they will face, challenges from Sanballat, challenges from Tobiah, and how Nehemiah responds to these various attacks, these various challenges, instructive for them, instructive for us as well. The first attack, the initial attack, chapter 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubble and burned ones at that? Sanballat comes with a verbal attack against the people of God. He jeers at them. He makes fun of them. Who do you think you are? Do you think you can actually do this work? You can actually rebuild this wall out of the stones, the rubble, the burned things? All of this is foolish. This initial attack is a verbal attack against the people of God. Tobiah joins in, verse 3. Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Kids, a fox is a very small animal. Average fox is about the size of an average cat. That's what he's saying. You're going to build this wall? If a cat jumps on top of it, the wall's going to fall down. They made fun of the people of God. It was a verbal attack against God's people. How does Nehemiah respond to the verbal attack? He responds with words as well. It is a verbal response, not a response against Sanballat and Tobiah, but words directed to God himself. Verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt. Let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. When the verbal attack came, he responded verbally in prayer to God. For your name's sake, O God, don't let these things come to pass. For your name's sake, turn aside what they're saying to us. Challenged verbally, he responds with verbal prayer to God. Now, we are perhaps not mocked like this today, but sometimes we are challenged in our faith, challenged regarding our Christianity. Our response must not be a response in turn to verbally attack those who attack us, but rather turning our words to God, turning our hearts in prayer to Him. God, let me respond to this in a way that your name may be honored. The verbal attack receives a verbal response, words of prayer to God, and the empty words of man fall against the strong words toward God Himself. That God, as He would take up Nehemiah's cause, would take up our cause as well. The verbal attack has a verbal response. And what do we read in verse 6? So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, and the people had a mind to work. The first attack is dealt with. Then the second attack comes. Verse 7. And when Sanballat and Tobalat and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward, that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. This is no longer simply a verbal attack. Now there is a plan in place. A plot is put together to come and attack the people that are doing the work. Not just words, but now a plan put in place. How does Nehemiah respond? Verse 9. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. They prayed and they set a guard. They planned and prepared. They didn't say, you know, with this plot in place, we're just going to sit back and let God take care of us. No, they recognized God had given them abilities, God had given them resources, and they should use those to plan against this plot against them. The verbal attack got a verbal response. The planned plot now receives both prayer and preparation. There's an old phrase, an old Latin phrase we used to use. We don't hear it very much anymore. That phrase is ora et labora. Ora et labora. Prayer and work. Yes, we trust God. Yes, we trust He will hear our prayers. But He also gives us a sanctified common sense to use the resources that we have to prepare when it's more than just words. When there is a plot in place, certainly it begins with prayer, but God gives us abilities to be ready if something should come against us, to meet the challenges that might come our way. Prayer and work. And the second attack is dealt with. Then comes the third attack. And this one's a little bit different. The first two attacks were external, verbal, and then verbal with a plot. This attack is internal, verse 10. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. Now the attack is not coming from the outside, but they begin to question themselves. They begin to question whether they really will be able to complete this work. And there is certainly some reality to that concern. The wall was in disrepair. The rocks were rubble. They were burnt. There was concern about this huge project. And not to mention that, verse 11, they would say, our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. Again and again, they were challenged, and they begin to doubt themselves. The concern, the attack came from inside. Are we able to do this? They had taken their eyes off God. They had failed to remember that He was the one who had sent them and given them the task. We read in verse 13, so in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Remember the Lord. When they began to doubt, could we actually do this? Can we complete the project? When they began to think it was only up to them, Nehemiah comes and reminds them, remember the Lord your God, who is great and awesome. He is the one who brought you back from captivity. He is the one who orchestrated the rebuilding of the temple. And He is the one who continues to be with you in this project of rebuilding the wall. There are times in our lives when we face real challenges, real difficulties. And so often our first response is to look at our own resources and we say, I just don't know if I can do this. I just don't know if I can take any more of this. This is so overwhelming, and our hearts faint. We have to hear the words of Nehemiah. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember our God, who is a sovereign God. Our God who is in control of all things. Our God who can do all things in accord with His perfect will. He was the one who brought them back from captivity. We have been released from the captivity of sin itself. We have been taken from death to life by the work of Jesus Christ. If God can do that, He can certainly meet any need that comes our way. Remember the Lord your God, who is great, who is awesome. He is the one who has released us, His people, from captivity. And He calls you again tonight. If you are still struggling with that captivity to sin, having never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, He calls you tonight. Trust in Him. Know the release. If you're trying to do it yourself, you will fail. There is nothing we can offer to God that will take away our sins. But Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to perfectly pay for all of our sins. Fix our eyes upon Him. Set our eyes upon God. He is the one who will complete the project in us. We often defeat ourselves when we look at the obstacles, rather than looking to God Himself. This internal attack. And when the words come, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. We read in verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work.
knowing that God was in control, knowing they could trust him, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, they returned to the work God had given them to do. And then we have the final attack. And perhaps I should have put attack in quotation marks on point four. There has been an escalation throughout this chapter. It began with a simple verbal attack, which was responded to verbally, prayer to God. It moved on to a plot that was in place and their call to pray and to prepare. Their own self-doubts were dealt with by the words, "Remember the Lord your God." And what we would expect is the next thing we read of Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites actually coming and attacking them. That attack never happens. That final attack never takes place. Verse 16. "From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction. Half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail, and the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand, held his weapon with the other, and each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me." They continued to pray. They continued to prepare, but they also continued to work. And the fear of the enemy coming to attack, that final attack never happened. Again, how much time, how much energy do we expend worrying about things that may never happen? Now, if we have concerns, we should pray. If we are able, we should prepare. But we should also remember the Lord our God, rest in his sovereign providence. And it may be the case that those things that were keeping us up at night, taking away our sleep, never come to pass. The final attack never takes place. Sanballat, Tobiah never show up. How often we expend our energy rather than laying out our hearts in prayer to God, doing what he has given us with the resources we have, but then trusting that everything will unfold according to his perfect plan. And we don't need to worry, to be anxious, to fear. We enter into a new year. There may be things on your schedule that frighten you, things in your life that frighten you. Leave those to God in prayer. Prepare if you can, but trust. Trust that he will unfold all things in the way that brings most glory to him, and that will serve us, his people, well. They continued the work, and the wall was completed. We read in chapter 6, verse 15, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. In 2 months, they completed the project God had given them. And then chapter 6 goes on, verse 16, "And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." The enemies, those they feared, are now afraid because they see that God is at work and no one can stand against him. It's a beautiful reminder of laying our burdens before God in prayer and his faithfulness to hear the prayers of his people. Oh, we have this one other part of the text. In verse 18, it says, "The man
who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Going on to verse 19. And I said to the nobles, to the officials, to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separate on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, our God will fight for us. They were spread out. They were doing their work. And if an attack would come, the trumpet would sound and all the people would come together. They would recognize that as they came together for prayer, having prepared, yet God would fight for them. A call to band together as the people of God. It's so easy for us today to live disconnected lives, to be disconnected from everyone around us. If we are struggling with a particular difficulty, with a particular hardship, it's so easy for us to say, you know, nobody would understand this. But we belong together as the people of God. We belong together as the church, to be rallying together for prayer, trusting God will fight for us. It's He who is at work. But we pray together as the body of Christ. Our trust in God is the ground of our prayer and our preparation. We need to be praying for each other, praying with each other. When we hear the sound of the trumpet, when an email is sent out from the church, this is a prayer request that we have. I hope you stop whatever you're doing and spend just a minute or two in prayer for that need. The trumpet has been sounded. We need to rally as the people of God. Perhaps that takes another form. Perhaps it's a phone call to someone who is hurting, a note, a visit. We belong together as God's people, and we need to regularly be in prayer for one another. Nehemiah is a beautiful book about prayer. And this particular story reminding us of how we are to respond in times of difficulty, in times of trial. When the attack is a verbal attack, we respond verbally in prayer to God. When there is a plot in place, we do pray and we work. We use the abilities God has given us to prepare. When we feel our own inability, we remember the Lord our God who is great, who is awesome. And we don't need to expend our energy worrying about those things which may never happen. We are the people of God called by Him. He goes ahead of us. He goes ahead of us into this new year. If there are things in this year which you are concerned about, which you dread, certainly bring them to God in prayer. Prepare as you can and allow the body to pray together for you, with you. For we trust our God. Remember the Lord. He is great and He is awesome. That was Nehemiah's strategy for success. If we want success in the year to come, it begins with prayer, preparation, and trusting, wholeheartedly trust in our God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, you are great, you are glorious, you are majestic. You are the God who is great and who is awesome, who does all things according to His perfect plan and according to His holy will. Oh Lord God, we praise you for who you are. We know that in life we do face difficulties, we do face challenges, we do face trials, and you've given us models of how to face those various trials. We know ultimately, O God, it all comes back to you, that you would go ahead of us, that you would fight for us. Lord God, may we not seek to look into ourselves. There is no assurance, there is no comfort there. We are weak and we are frail. Let us remember you, the Lord our God. And Lord God, let us not expend ourselves on things that may never come to pass, but rather trust the perfect unfolding of your will. You are great, glorious, and majestic.
We love you and we trust you. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.